Yeah. And yo, Black, it's time.
Bird,
it's time. It's time, man. All right. Begin.
I got to talk. I got to tell what I feel. I got to talk about my life as I see it.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I like to know.
Are you ready for start time?
Yeah. Okay, well, let me kind of move these things around here, you know.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what this is coming down through the audience, but look like it just came out of the basement.
You know what I'm saying?
Thank you, because now...
Get ready.
Yeah. We dedicate this to these people out here getting banged.
Because only one thing counts in this life. Get them to sign on the line which is dotted.
And I own this $500 million shiny suit.
Looking like a bag of money.
Because you drove a Hyundai to get here tonight. I drove an $80,000 BMW. That's my name.
You see this watch? That watch costs more than your car. I made $970,000 last year. How much you make?
Somebody in the house say yeah. If y'all really like to rock the funky beats, somebody in the house say hell yeah. I like that for the people up top. Check this out.
A, B, C. A always, B, B, C closing. Always be closing. Always be closing. If you want to work here, close.
Okay, I'm reloaded.
From the sports bars to the stands, we are the voice of the fans. You are now plugged into your sports mixtape. This is the Ball Street Journal. You are plugged into the Section 357 show, where we always have the best seats in the house. You're hanging out with your Ball Street Journal reporters, the Floyd and Ronnie. I'm Floyd. D and Ronnie, how you guys doing?
Doing absolutely fantastic. This is how we always do on the Section 357 show. Once again, going to bring you some very much Ball Street Journal aspects to sports talk and sports reporting. But before we get into that, let me toss it over to my man Ronnie. How you doing?
What's going on, D? What's going on, Floyd? This is the Section 357, the Ball Street Journal. We're going to talk a little bit about NFL free agency. Not the who won, who lost, who's better, but the business of the whole process. And we saw some very interesting things. We're going to talk about roster bonuses. And we're going to even talk about technology, yes, because technology played a big part into a major free agent coup, so to speak, for somebody. But before we get into that, we're going to ship it down somewhere between Chattanooga and Chesterton. It's my main man, Floyd. What's going on, man?
Feeling good, feeling great. Always a pleasure and a privilege to have this conversation with you, fine sports minds, and to share that conversation with our fans out there. This is the Section 357 show. Check us out on Twitter at Section 357. And guys, I'm sorry I was a tad bit late getting on to the show today. I had to find the extra toner cartridge for my fax machine, so had to make a little run to the store to go get that taken care of. But we are talking about technology and sports as well as free agency in general. And I want to start there, guys, because we talked in our pre-show meeting about some of the shenanigans, if you will, with Elvis Dumervil and the Denver Broncos and them not being able to get their communication downright in terms of time and everything else because the agent didn't fax in the proper paperwork by the certain time. And in the age of tweets and text messages and emails and digital scanners and everything else, we're still having to use fax machines to handle important paperwork that has multi-million dollar implications. So what were some of your thoughts on that, guys, as we look at NFL free agency as a whole?
But I don't understand why between the agent and the Broncos, why this couldn't have been done electronically via scanners as opposed to fax machines. And I understand this is big business, and in today's day and age, you need to have that signature on the dotted line, and the fax machine does provide the unaltered image that you might not necessarily get with a scanner. But still, I don't see why you can't have just a temporary agreement in place before you get the actual blue ink on white paper signature.
That, to me, is the million-dollar question, or the $12 million question, so to speak, is with all the technology, you're still using the fax machine. And, Floyd, let me flip this over to you, because we talked on this show, we talked about negotiations and things like that. Elmer Doolin, Bill agent, was fired as a result of this. So not only did he lose a $240,000 commission, he also lost a job and a client. If you're the agent for Elmer Doolinville, and now you are still in his agent game, how do you explain this off to future clients or even current clients? Like, how do you protect yourself now as an agent? Because maybe it was an honest mistake, maybe the fax machine got jammed, but however the case, how do you explain this all right now to your clients and to others who may want to work with you?
You don't want to blame the player because that may mess up good relationships in general. So you blame the team. Go ahead and you blame the Broncos, point the finger at them, say they didn't get back to you in time, kind of spin it that way just so it makes you look good or at least not as bad. And then you go out and you get a brand new fax machine, go to Staples, go to Office Depot, Office Max, whatever the case may be, get you 3 or 4 or 5 new fax machines so that you don't have to worry about this ever again.
Yeah, Floyd, that's exactly what's happening. The agent is blaming the Broncos, saying that they tried to change the deal at the last minute, saying he didn't have time to print out the deal and read it. So that's what the spin has to be. The agent has to say he was trying to do his due diligence and read the entire contract and make sure everything was up to snuff and that the team hadn't snuck in some last-minute language and that he was just looking out for the best interests of his client. I don't know if that'll go over well, but we have seen that a lot of these NFL players are not even up on what their contracts are about and knowing when they can be cut. So I think a good agent can be able to spin it.
And for all of our listeners out there, we know that the details and minutiae of the contract of Elvis Doomerville isn't exactly sexy sports podcasting conversation, but we really want to kind of take the conversation in a broader context, because when it comes to sports, this is the business of sports. And we try to look at these situations because, true, it might have been Elvis Doomerville this time. It could be a different player, a more well-known player next time. These are the types of things that go on with every NFL player and their team. And it just goes to show that even as professionals, quote-unquote, in their job, they can have mistakes and get it wrong.
Speaking of not knowing what's in your contract, we talk about roster bonuses. And roster bonuses is a big topic that comes around this time of year as teams are trying to make cap maneuver to re-sign guys, to bring guys in. Is the roster bonus, fellas, the most fugazi contract stipulation in professional sports? You always hear about if a guy makes the roster bonus, he gets $100,000 if he's on the team March 1st. He gets $2 million if he's on the team March 1st. D, you're kind of a cap guy. So just give the people a little bit of background on what is a roster bonus. And then, Floyd, talk about how kind of fugazi and funny this term actually is. I'll give it to you first, D.
Well, Ronnie and all our fans out there, I have to disagree with this notion. We discussed this in our pre-show meeting, but I do not think that the roster bonus is fugazi. What's fugazi is when you know that you're not going to be on the team, okay? There's a number of different ways you can play with the cap, and a roster bonus is just one type of bonus that's treated in terms of the cap differently from a signing bonus, okay? But what's most important for any NFL player is when their contract gets to that breaking point. And that breaking point is when it costs more towards the cap to keep the player on the team than it does to cut the player. And if I, as an NFL fan, can figure out, once I know the contract details, when that breaking point is, then certainly the agent and the team knows that, and certainly the player should be able to figure that out. But with that being said, the roster bonus is a new trick that's being used for teams to force that breaking point. In other words, either we're going to keep you and we're going to pay you and it's going to count towards the cap, or we're just going to cut you outright. And players, if you don't know when that breaking point is coming, then you best not be going out and getting that new Lamborghini expecting that $2 million check to be happening in mid-March.
But D, you use the word trick, which is a very important term, because I do feel like it's the NFL, or the teams, that is, the teams are tricking the players, and I guess their agents, because the agents are agreeing to the terms of these deals. Now, I know that by and large, a lot of players do get the roster bonus more than the players don't get it, but it just seems that when it comes to the roster bonuses that are high dollar values, like $3, $4, and $5 million, I almost never see players get those bonuses. And we saw it with Brandon Lloyd. We saw it with Michael Vick and the Eagles. It seems that they hang that over your head to force you to renegotiate, essentially. And I just feel like in most cases where that roster bonus is a pretty hefty number, you rarely ever get that roster bonus if you're the player. And time over time, it just seems that the athletes and their agents flip on the banana peel every single time.
But here's the thing, Floyd. In order to make the roster bonus legit to you as a player, you need to ensure that you're going to be on the roster. And there's a couple of ways to do that. One way to do that is treating the year before like a free agent year and going out and getting, you know, 1,000 yards receiving, going out and getting 12,000 yards rushing, going out and getting double-digit sacks, where the team doesn't want to let you go to free agency and they're going to want to keep you on your roster so you know that you're going to get that bonus. But the other way, the business way to do it, is for the agent to ensure that you're going to be on the team. So I give you the example of the recently signed Jared Cook of the Rams. He signed a 5-year, $35 million deal with only a $5,000 signing bonus. But he's getting a $3 million roster bonus next year. The way that he knows he's going to get that money is twofold. A, the cap hit due to his prorated signing bonus would not be beneficial for the Rams to cut him next year. B, more importantly, and this is a trick that you're seeing agents use more often, is that Jared Cook's 2014 and 2015 salaries are guaranteed. So you have to look at the greater package overall. I can give you another example of a Ram who's going to have his salary guaranteed. It's not really a roster bonus, but his salary is going to be guaranteed a couple days into the league year. But these are all that are the tricks that get played by both sides to ensure that players have some form of guarantee in the NFL when you don't have guaranteed contracts.
Here would be my question, though, fellas. Do you say the player and the agent should get assurance that he's on the team? How are you supposed to get assurance of the, from the team that you're going to be on it when the team has these consistently has these ins and outs on these contracts to get out of paying you? Even guys who have played well have been cut over this roster bonus or workout bonus. And so I don't know how many assurances you could possibly have with non-guaranteed contracts, which is why, to me, NFL still has the most gazy contracts in professional sports, because while I'm not a super capologist like yourself, I just see there's too many times, there's too many ways to get out of these deals. So what is the assurance you're supposed to get that you're going to be on the team
even if you perform well, even if you're not a quote-unquote health risk. Floyd, let me let you jump in.
We had this conversation a couple of shows ago where we talked about what can we do about NFL free agency, or at least NFL contracts. And I said NFL contracts should be shorter but guaranteed. And to the point that you talked about, D, about Jared Cook, he has guaranteed money over a very short time span, which makes all of what he gets during that time span essentially real quote-unquote money that he will get. So in the NFL, if you move to shorter contracts that are guaranteed, that makes all the bonuses that are attached to that contract now guaranteed. In the era that we have now, I still prefer the signing bonus to the roster bonus, because the signing bonus still is, while a prorated contract is still, while the roster bonus still is a prorated bonus, I still know for the most part I'm going to get that. When it comes to that roster bonus, though, if you don't have a guaranteed contract, it's up in the air. And to your point, Ron, or I guess D, when you talked about having the player having a great season, Brandon Lloyd, but not a superstar season in New England, had over 900 yards in the offense that had Wes Welker catch a bunch of balls. You got a tight end heavy offense. And he was a guy who, while not spectacular, put up really good numbers. And when New England saw that they had to pay that $3 million roster bonus, I think everyone in the world, including Brandon Lloyd and his people, knew that bonus was not going to get picked up, especially with how they dealt with Wes Welker prior to that.
What it comes down to is the classic R&B phrase, it's cheaper to keep her. And this is how NFL agents guarantee spots for their players. This is why it's so important for players to get that long-term deal, to get the big signing bonus, is because you know, as an agent and as a player, that the team can't cut you because it's financially not in their advantage towards the cap to cut you. Just briefly on the signing bonuses, know that when a player gets a signing bonus, they get all of that money when they sign their name on the dotted line. It's only prorated in terms of how it affects the cap. So I kind of see what you're saying, Hall, but I think that's already going on, in that a lot of these agents know that when they sign a player to a five-year deal, that it's really only going to be a two- or three-year deal. If you look at some of the deals that have been signed recently with Wallace, with Amendola, you can look at the real numbers. With Cook, as I just mentioned, you can look at the real numbers and see that the player most likely won't see those last 2 years. But Floyd, I think the reason why it's not going to change is twofold. A, because teams want that 5 years to prorate any sort of signing bonuses. You see this with Tony Gonzalez. There was a reason why he signed a two-year deal, even though he knew that he was only going to play 1 year, so that the team could spread out the cap hit. But most importantly is the agents like to have this funny money at the end of the deal, even though they know in their hearts that their player isn't going to get it, even though the team knows that the player isn't going to get it. The agents use these big inflated contracts to sell themselves to other prospects. And let's not forget that the agents control a lot of the free agency game and a lot of the business of the NFL in ways that we don't always fully appreciate.
Well, guys, as much as I know we enjoy talking about this, hopefully our fans do too, I think this conversation at some point will require an expert opinion. So I'm going to make one more appeal to Miko Grimes to come on the show and shed some light on how it really goes down in the world of negotiating NFL contracts. So again, Miko, if you're hearing this, you have an open invitation to come on the Section 357 show and tell us what you think really goes down in that world. So with that being said, let's take a music break here on the Section 357 show. Check us out on Twitter at Section 357. We'll be right back after this. Sit tight.
Sir Lucius Hale. Scott Mescucciano.
Wicked.
When I'm gone, she miss me being home. I'm always at the studio, that makes her alone. Recently, she even seems to hate on all my songs. Deleted my pictures, took my face up out her phone. Where did we go wrong? I'm sitting here thinking. She said the weed too strong, it keeps my breath stinking. Dizzy high, I ride away in my Lincoln. Close my eyes and fly away with no blinking. I'm just dreaming, she ain't really screaming. It goes both ways and I was trying to get even. Lost my whole evening, mostly for no reasoning. Just my broken reasoning, now I'm trying to ease it. And came home and late, I just put the key in. It would probably be straight if she was European. She's not, she's hot and mad as she can be. If you can hate on anybody, girl, I'm glad that it was me.
She hates me, I know I know. She hates me, I know it for sure.
Welcome back to the show. This is the Section 357 show, where we always have the best seats in the house. Last call for alcohol or something like it. D, what do you have, man?
Last call is certainly a last call. Rams fans knew this was going to happen, but Steven Jackson has officially left the Rams. Fortunately, working out for me, and that he's moving now to my market here in the Atlanta area. I know, I'm out in the suburbs, but very interesting hearing a lot of Atlanta sports talk radio talking about the great Steven Jackson, and I'm very much pulling for him. But, you know, we talked about the business aspects of this, Hall. I know you said you would have liked him for the right deal. SJ39 certainly signed a very cap-friendly deal for the Falcons in hopes that he could get that run at the Super Bowl ring.
As I mentioned before on text message prior to the show, I thought it might have been a year too late. I would have loved to have had him last year. No disrespect to you, Michael Turner, but, you know, it is what it is. But I'm happy for you, man, and I would love to get your thoughts, especially on Steven Jackson's career. So does his coming here essentially ensure that this is the best of both worlds for you? Because even though you can still cheer for the St. Louis Rams, you can still cheer for SJ39 in the Falcons uniform as well.
Absolutely, it's the best of both worlds. I've always followed the Falcons as a bit more of a passing curiosity. And certainly with them having success recently, I've been able to follow them in the postseason when my Rams haven't been playing. So I will be pulling for the Falcons a bit more, except for one Sunday. The date isn't set this year, when the Rams travel down to the place where they won the Super Bowl and play the Falcons down here in the Georgia Dome. It will be enjoyable. I'll get my one last chance to both support my Rams and rock my Steven Jackson jersey.
Ron, what do you have, man?
My last call goes out to Raven Nation. You know the names, Nakia SH, Raven Girl, Marilyn Jane. The Ravens have been one of the teams who have been hit pretty hard by free agency, but I'm going to give them some love because they are probably the most sensible football fans I've seen on Twitter during this whole process. They've taken the losses in stride. You know, they understand the business. So for having some sensibility, for having, you know, level-headed approach to this whole thing, I got to give Raven Nation some love because they've been pretty good about the whole thing. So I want to give some shout out to them. Floyd, take us home.
But Ron, I want to ask you this. If the Ravens follow up this Super Bowl winning season with, let's say, an 8-8 season and missing the playoffs, how far do you think that sensibility is going to travel once you get into the season and they realize that the playoffs are not in their future, if it comes to that?
I think it's okay until somebody says something smart to our girl, Raven Girl. She's one that you can't play with too tough when it comes to them Ravens. So I think it's all good until you poke that bear. And if you poke that bear, you definitely get the claws on that one. So if they had that struggle season, be careful what you say to her. And be careful what you say to Ravens Nation.
And with that being said, I want to give a shout out to Let's Go Mo, Morgan Gaskins, because if there's anyone who might poke the bear, it probably will be her. But that's another conversation for another time. At any rate, my last call always goes out to the fans out there for supporting us. This is the Section 357 show. Check us out on Twitter. Our shows are also on iTunes as well as the Stitcher app for mobile devices. So you can check out the show there and subscribe to all of the episodes. And with that being said, good luck to you and your favorite teams out there, wherever you might be. This is the Section 357 show, where we always have the best seats in the house. Until next time, take care.